Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service, a nonprofit organization devoted to the radio listening hobby.
Thanks, Doc Morgan, down in Dallas, Texas, and welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for April 2007. This is issue number 265, and I'm Fred Bobie, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. The cost of a subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to edxn.com and get your DX Audio Service on your computer or iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with the PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado 80047-3251 if you want to pay by check. Well, it's that time of the year. It's our anniversary, and it's also April Fool's, so you never know what's coming down on the DX Audio Service.
WCOP 1160 Boston.
Well, thanks, Fred, and welcome everyone to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for this April 2007. First of all, let's take care of the call letter changes. On 640, WGOX in Blountville, Tennessee has changed to WXSM. 750, a new station in Hampton, Maine, has taken the call of WRME. 810, KSJL in Somerset, Texas has changed their call sign to KYTY. On 960, WGLH, La Follette, Tennessee, their new call WQLA. On 1130, another new station, this one in Mount Angel, Oregon, they've taken KTRP for their call. 1150 KUHD in Port Neches, Texas, their new call KBPO. 1220 WIBQ, Sarasota, Florida, their new call WSRQ. 1220 WBDY, Salem, Oregon, has changed to KPJC. On 1230 WKND, Manchester, Connecticut, has changed to WNEZ. Also on 1230 WZNO, Pensacola, Florida, their new call WDWR. 1260 KKGO, Beverly Hills, California, they've changed to KMZT. On 1320 WJGR, Jacksonville, Florida, has changed to WBOB. 1320 WKIN, Kingsport, Tennessee, their new call WGOC, and they're now satellite-delivered classic country. 1460 WBJX in Racine, Wisconsin has taken the new call of WJTI. On 1470 KZTJ, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, their new call KRJJ. 1480 WNEZ, Windsor, Connecticut has taken the new call of WKND. 1530 WLSP in Lapeer, Michigan, their new call WLCO. 1650 CHAL in Montreal, Quebec, changed their call to CJRS. And finally, a new station on 1690 in Montreal, their call CJOL. During the past month, the following stations have changed their facilities. 620 WTRP LaGrange, Georgia, their CP for 2,500 watts during the day, 127 watts at night, all non-directional, is now on the air. 790 WQSV Ashland City, Tennessee, their CP for U1, 2,000 daytime watts and 35 watts at night is on the air. That nighttime power corrects from a previous issue. 870 KFJZ Fort Worth, Texas, their construction permit for 1,000 watts daytime only directional is on the air from a new transmitter site. 1,000 WDJL Huntsville, Alabama, their construction permit to reduce their power and go non-directional as D1, 1,000 daytime only, is now on. 1010 WOLB Baltimore, Maryland, their construction permit to move to the site of co-owned WWIN 1400 and change their power levels to U1, 250 watts during the day, 30 watts at night, is now on. 1230 WVNT Parkersburg, West Virginia. Their CP to move to a taller tower with a lower power is now on. WVNT is now U1, 880 watts day and night. 1250 KNWH has made the formal move to Yucca Valley, California. Moving from 29 Palms, their power levels are 800 watts during the day, 77 watts at night, all non-directional. 1440 KCHE Cherokee, Iowa. According to the FCC's website, KCHE was issued their license to lower their daytime power and add night service as U1, 390 watts during the day, 29 watts at night in mid-January. But the person with whom I spoke when I called to verify said they still shut the station off at night. So we'll call this one tentative as of now. 1480 WGVU Kentwood, Michigan. Their construction permit for U2, that's directional nighttime only, 2,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, is now on. 1570 KSXT Loveland, Colorado. Their CP to increase their daytime power as U1, 7,000 watts during the day, 18 watts at night, is on the air. 1570 KPYK Terrell, Texas. Their CP raising the daytime power a little bit to 270 watts, and the nighttime power remains at 6 watts, is now on the air, all non-directional. 1600 KRVA Cockrell Hill, Texas. Their CP for U4, 25,000 watts during the day, 930 watts at night, is now on. And 1650 CJRS Montreal, Quebec, as we noticed with those changed calls, is on the air with 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. This station claims to be North America's first all-Jewish radio station, but they also will consider some limited programming from various other ethnic and/or religious organizations who are presently not served by other Montreal area radio stations. Their slogan is Radio Shalom. Some actions that have taken place over the past month. 880 WNSG Nashville, Tennessee has been granted a CP to add night service as U1, 2,500 watts during the day and 2 watts at night. 1050 KCHN Brookshire, Texas granted a CP to add night service. Their new facilities, when built, will be U4, that's two different patterns, 410 watts during the day and 650 watts at night. 1320 WBOB Jacksonville, Florida, CP has been granted for U2, 50,000 watts during the day and 5,000 watts at night. 1370 WLTQ Charleston, South Carolina, a CP has been granted to reduce their nighttime power to become U1, 1,100 watts during the day and 83 watts at night. 1380 KPTQ Portland, Oregon, a CP has been granted to increase their nighttime power to become U4, 5,000 watts during the day and 125 watts at night. 1450 WMVG Milledgeville, Georgia. Their CP grants them to increase the height of their tower to accommodate the co-located FM station's antenna, thereby necessitating a decrease in the AM power level to 550 watts day and night, and they remain non-directional. Also on 1450 KIOV Notice, Idaho, CP has been granted to move to Notice from Payette with 1,000 watts day and night. And 1560 KKAA Aberdeen, South Dakota, CP has been granted to increase their night power. When operational, they'll be U4, 10,000 watts during the day, 10,000 watts at night. A couple of stations have been deleted from the FCC's database and their calls also deleted. 1060 WKGQ Milledgeville, Georgia, along with 1230 KCON Conway, Arkansas. Three new stations have been granted. On 1340 in Ajo, California, they'll have 250 watts day and night, non-directional. Also on 1340, Winnemucca, Nevada, they'll have 250 watts day and night, non-directional. And a new station on 1450 in Eads, Colorado, they'll also have 250 watts day and night, non-directional. Well, an application from CKXR in Salmon Arm, British Columbia. We thought this station had gone silent last fall, but it seems the station's switch to FM is being delayed, as a couple of communities which were supposed to have been served have complained that the new FM signal isn't making the trip. So CKXR has asked the CRTC to extend the simulcast period in order to give them time to install repeater stations to fill in the coverage gaps. In case you've erased the listing from your logs, CKXR is U2, 10,000 watts during the day and 1,000 watts at night. Reported to have returned to the airwaves over the past month, WASG 550 Atmore, Alabama, with a religious format, and they're simulcasting WGCX 95.7 and ID as Praise 95. Also back on WEEL 700 Dothan, Alabama with Oldies. However, now silent, KYET Williams, Arizona, and WCVC 1330 Tallahassee, Florida. Fines, $16,800 for willful and repeated violations concerning the failure to maintain a main studio, operating overpower during nighttime hours, and failure to make available for inspection the station's public inspection file, KLFJ 1550, Springfield, Missouri. A $15,000 fine has been levied for failure to maintain an operational emergency action service equipment and failure to maintain effective lock fences or enclosures, WTIR 1300, Cocoa Beach, Florida. $9,600 fine has been assessed for failure to maintain fully operational EAS equipment plus other matters, WTBQ 1110, Warwick, New York. $8,000 in fines for recording telephone conversations for broadcast and later broadcasting that telephone conversation without first informing the party, WMGO 1370, Canton, Mississippi. The following stations have been fined $7,000 for failure to file for license renewal in a timely manner and unauthorized subsequent operation. KGVW 640, Belgrade, Montana, WGML 990, Hinesville, Georgia, KMZK 1240, Billings, Montana, WPID 1280, Piedmont, Alabama, KBJM 1400, Lemon, South Dakota, WFHL 1430, Pell City, Alabama, WSNT 1490, Sandersville, Alabama, and KNDC 1490, Hettinger, North Dakota. A $7,000 fine has been levied for failure to notify the FCC about changes to their antenna structure ownership and for not operating in accordance with their license, WHNC 890, Henderson, North Carolina. $4,000 fines have been levied against WADV 940, Lebanon, Pennsylvania, for operating in excess of their authorized nighttime power. Also, a $4,000 fine has been levied against CBS Radio of Philadelphia for failure to announce the material terms of a contest and neglecting to conduct the contest in accordance with its material terms, whatever all that means. A $4,000 fine for unauthorized operation after license expiration, WQST 850 Forest, Mississippi, and $1,500 fines for failure to file its license renewal application in a timely manner, WCER 900 Canton, Ohio, and WBAF 1090, Barnesville, Georgia. Well, thanks to Sean Axelrod, Perry Crabill, Bill Dvorak, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Dave Schmidt for tidbits used this month. Coming up next, John Bowker with another riveting installment of What's Your Call Sign This Year, or better known as the Travelogue. But first, we pause for a legal ID.
This is W... I'm sorry, babes. It's... where is this? Okay, let's try it again. This is WMAL at 63 in Washington.
Well, that's funny. That happened to us once at WHWH in Princeton, New Jersey, where I worked for a couple of years as a weekend morning man. A fella came over from Asbury Park to pick up at 10 o'clock in the morning, and as our usual practice, we would end our program 10 seconds before the hour, before going into ABC News at that time. The new announcer would come in, give the station break, give the time, and go into the news. Only this fella came in, he gave the wrong call letters, he gave the ones from Asbury Park, caught himself, muttered an oath, gave the correct call letters in the city and the time, and then went into ABC News, only he hadn't turned off his microphone, and he turned and said something to the effect of, "Oh, golly gee whiz." Only not quite exactly those words. Hey, thanks, Bill Hale, and hello, everybody. This is the Travelogue. part three of what's turning out to be a four-part program on the 980 kilohertz stations as we go across the United States, and we're going to get right into them this month. We ended last month at the northern border of Florida, so we're headed north now, right into Alabama. And we're going to start with the peach capital of Alabama. You didn't know that Alabama also had peaches, just like Georgia, do you? Well, I'll tell you, when you go into Clanton, Alabama, your eye is struck by this huge water tower, and it looks just like a peach, a Georgia peach there in Alabama. It's, halfway from Birmingham to Montgomery. We have a 1,000-watt day timer to start with as we begin the April 2007 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
5:30 until 7 o'clock for Singing the Gospel.
This is WKLF-AM, WEZZ-FM, Clanton.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm Jim Hickey.
We're going to go next to the very southwest corner of Mississippi to hear a station that operates at night with 152 watts. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to be telling you this month about night operating powers. And what we're going to find is there are a lot of stations on the air, but they're operating with 100 and even less watts at night. So I'll be telling you about the station's night power as we go along here. Let's go to Macomb, Mississippi.
He'll walk right across like Moses did.
He'll get you to the other side. He'll get you to the other side.
You're tuned in to Southwest Mississippi's best AM radio, 980 AM, WAPF, Macomb.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Michael Barr. The president's economic team will see some new faces.
Well, it seems like that happens all the time, doesn't it? Okay, we're going to be moving over to the middle of the state of Tennessee next, right into Music City, Nashville, where in 1927 a station came on the air, WSIX, and by George, they kept those call letters right up until the 1990s. They're at 980 on the dial now, and they're operating 5,000 watts both day and night.
Music City's country favorite, 98 WSIX FM and AM, Nashville.
Well, I wish we'd kept a little more of that ID, but Dale Hamm was back in town about 12, 14 years ago and picked up their new set of call letters, and for that we thank you very much, Dale.
WYFN Nashville, pointing a needy world to a loving Lord.
It's 11 o'clock Eastern, and the news is next.
USA Radio Network News, this is Russ Ross. When Bosnian Muslims and Serbs signed a four-month truce with officials on both sides questioning the validity of the pact.
Hey, now that's kind of interesting. Did you notice that the fellow in Nashville gave the time as Eastern? Well, Nashville very clearly is in the central time zone, so why he would do that, I don't know, unless, of course, it would take an hour off his shift that day. You don't suppose, do you? I hope not. We're going to move up north now into Kentucky, going to the town of London, Kentucky. And you might wonder, well, what's in London, Kentucky? Well, I'll tell you. It's the very first restaurant ever opened by Colonel Sanders. And here's a station operating with 70 watts at night.
I'll be back.
WGWM 980 AM London.
My goodness, he didn't sound very proud of those call letters, did he? Well, we come next to the Mountaineer State, and in fact, this is the hometown of Stonewall Jackson. I bet you didn't know he came from West Virginia, did you? It's right outside of Clarksburg, actually. This is a little town of 5,000 people, and the station operates at 980 at night with 50 watts.
Good, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
This is WHAW 980 on your AM dial, serving the West and Clarksburg areas.
Goddard's Gold.
From coast to coast, this is Goddard's Gold.
Okay, we're going to go from West Virginia now right into the state of Ohio, over to the western edge, in fact, south of where Fred Vobey lives.
The one for country music and more, WONE, Dayton Springfield.
Lift up the
I wonder if any of you noticed when we were in Akron, it went over to the WAKR studio building. Right out front is this big sign proclaiming home of WONE. That was in Akron. Well, of course, they conveniently left the FM part of the call sign off the big sign. So be it. All right, we're going to move now over through the state of Indiana and just tiptoe into the state of Illinois to the town of Danville, where we have a 1,000-watt station on the air at night.
Visit Cahill's at 334 North Gilbert Street in Danville. You'll be glad you did.
The area's choice for news, weather, sports, and memories. We're 980 WITY Danville.
From ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. One witness says it's like a freight train roaring by as Hurricane Ivan blasts the Cayman Islands with winds of 155 miles an hour.
Well, next we come to one of those amazing little towns. Illinois has two towns that are unbelievable. Way down at the south end, they have a community with a huge, I'm talking 10-foot-high statue of Superman right in the town square in front of Town Hall. There's another community over on the Mississippi River in the town of Chester, Illinois. It's south of St. Louis, I'm guessing about 70 miles or so. Chester has a huge statue of Popeye, and they also have a radio station operating at 980 with 470 watts at night.
KBDZ Perryville, KSGM Chester's St. Genevieve.
This is Farm Bureau's Closing Markets. Good afternoon. I'm Denny Bannister reporting. Well, let's see what happened at the hog markets today.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to... I tell you what, I'd rather hear more about his Popeye or his girlfriend, Olive Oil. I don't know how many of you remember Olive Oil. We're going to head straight north out of Chester, Illinois now, up onto the lakeside of Wisconsin. And going back about 15 years, I wonder how many of you remember this ID.
Right now, the lakeshore, 53 degrees.
WCUB, 98 Country, Manitowoc. Yeah, that was WCUB, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Well, the WCUB hasn't changed, but Manitowoc sure has. The name of the city of license now is Two Rivers, Wisconsin.
Here's
Northeast Wisconsin's most powerful radio station, WCUB, Two Rivers, Manitowoc.
From the CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm David Hall.
And by the way, this most powerful station, they're 5,000 watts both day and night, so Milwaukee's about 60 miles south of Two Rivers. And we have one more stop down in the southwest corner of Wisconsin, and this station booms forth at night with 30 watts.
If you got the Coors Light, your Halloween's all right. And now another tune, Ghouls Just Wanna Have Fun, from your friends at...
H-O-W-L.
Woo! Love that howl.
Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Also look for Coors Light Halloween headquarters at your favorite bar or restaurant and have a happy Halloween from Coors Light.
You're in tune to WPRE and WPRE-FM, Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, Marquette, and McGregor, Iowa. It's 12 o'clock and time for the Badgers.
It's time now for Football Saturday with Brian Manthe, Matt LePay, Jim Irwin, and Elroy Hirsch.
And that sounds like a very pleasant Saturday afternoon. Well, now, we have a saga to tell you about, and this will take a little study, so pay attention. We're going to play you an ID going way back to the early days of the city of Richfield in Minnesota, which is really in the metro area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, no question about that. And if we go back into the 1970s, we heard a station break that sounded like this.
Rain is in the forecast, possibly mixed with snow tomorrow. Cloudy and 48 at this hour, and your radio dial is all set for the afternoon. It's at AM 980 or FM 93.7. The place to relax and be refreshed, WAYL Richfield, WAYL FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Now, new management took over that station shortly thereafter and changed a whole lot of things. Most significantly, the call letters switched from a W call to a K call. And what you're going to hear is a sequence of call letter changes. They go way back into the 1980s, then in 1993, 1994, and in 1996, they picked up the call letters that they still use today. Listen.
KMSY 980. KMSY Richfield.
Good morning, Minnetonka. Temperature is 6 above.
Harder than mom's meatloaf. C-Rock, KMZZ, Richfield, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Listen for the special live Promise Keepers broadcast this Saturday from noon until 2 on AM 980 KKMS, Minnesota's Word.
AM 980 KKMS, Richfield, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Robbinsdale.
Well, how appropriate it is that we leave the travelogue this month in the Minneapolis greater metro area, because that's where Mark Durenberger is coming from next here on the audio service. Next month, we're going to start our travelogue in Kansas City. Oh yeah, they have stations all over the dial, including one at 980. Take care now. Bye-bye.
If you want entertainment, then there is only one. WHB.
Mark Durenberger for the DX Audio Service, and we are actually in the, finally, in the Sheetrock Announce booth with Fred Volby. And didn't realize when I drove up to your driveway here that I'm actually within an hour of Phil Wayne.
Phil's just a little bit up the road and probably about 40 minutes away, maybe.
Well, Fred, as most of our listeners know, has been doing the DX Audio Service as a labor of love for...
It's 264, I believe it is.
As of today, today is Today is February. February. I don't even know. Feb 23rd, 2007.
Yeah, we're actually putting together the March show this week.
Okay, and one of the things I thought would be fun to do was to share with listeners how you put the monthly show together. There's an awful lot of different components to it.
Oh, there is. And, you know, I would be very remiss if I didn't say that guys like you and Phil and John and Bill, I mean, you make it a lot easier on me. Yeah, Ken. I mean, you guys really make it easy on me, because a lot of times when the material comes in, it's pretty much plug and play. There's a lot of little nuances we have to do to the audio just to kind of get everyone to match up a little bit. But mostly, I mean, it's pretty much just plug it into the timeline of the audio editor. Make sure that the show comes down to about 46 minutes and 30 seconds per side, so it fits on a nice tape. And we're done.
Just to remind folks, you don't use a standard C90. You use what we call a C92. It's a special tape made for you.
C92, we get a good deal on them from a company that gives us music-grade cassettes in place of voice grades. I think that's kind of important. I'm like an old broadcaster that loves that sound. So I mean, if when I hear the speech tapes, they just kind of don't sound right, you know.
Well, the DX Audio Service is known for its sound quality, and it's obvious that you put an awful lot of work into this. I called it a labor of love. It's almost an obsession with you now, isn't it? How many hours a month do you think you put in?
Oh, gosh. It's hard to say. There has been a few issues, primarily when we have done, say, All Radio or After Dark or one of those programs, where literally I come home from work, have dinner real quick, and out in the studio I go. I'm producing until probably 11 o'clock or so at night. Get to bed, get up in the morning at 5:30, head out to the TV station, do my time, and come back and write back on the audio editor again.
Whether you knew it or not, that was a commentary on life you just gave us there. I go to work to do my time so I can get back to my fun.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I've always said that, you know, at the point of retirement, I'd probably do more audio service than I do now, just because I love it. I mean, this is, radio is magic. I mean, radio to me, I mean, I can think back when I was darn near just out of the crib, and I had a radio. When I had the chicken pox, I had a radio under the covers. When I had the flu as a little boy, I had a radio with me. I mean, I can go back and think of all the different things, big stories, the Kennedy assassinations, all the things. I mean, I had a radio.
I think some of our listeners are not aware of just how busy you are with this. And I think it's my opinion, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, that sometimes you get some calls from folks that you might classify as, gee whiz, couldn't you wait? Because can you tell I'm busy? And you
that, know, that is,
people get impatient when their thing doesn't arrive and so forth. So I think it'd be good if they knew just how much work was really involved in this each and every month, 12 months a year.
Let's just say that, you know, when I mail the tapes, when I take down the big basket of them to the post office and come back, usually it's a Friday or a Saturday. It just happens to time out that way. But usually after on that night, I usually sit down with my therapist, Dr. Jack Daniels, and we have a little consultation, and we say, boy, that was a great issue. Now, what are they going to do to top it next year or next month? It basically starts as soon as we get tapes mailed. So on the 31st or the 1st, whatever, we're going to be starting to do the next month's DX audio service. And it starts by getting on to the internet, looking at the trade magazines, talking with other broadcasters. Hey, what's hot, what's not, what's going on? You know, like, for example, this month, there's going to be, the FCC is going to hold some of their consolidation hearings in a community where there's two DX Audio Service members. Now, although this is really not related to the DX Audio Service, I take the FCC press releases, I copy them, I mail them to those members, just mm-hmm. because I feel they should know what's going on in their community. They should know that they have a voice. So we send press releases out from the FCC to DX Audio Service members. About second week of the month, then we have to start going through and kind of figuring out what we're going to do for the show. Obviously, like I said, you guys are great because you give me some pretty standard times to edit stuff. But we still got to fill with some of the material, you know, which is going on from like the Crazy Ken closet clearance sale. And we also have some of the news and notes. And, you know, sometimes we get some buy, sell, and trade items and things. Okay, where's this stuff all going to place?
And you don't know how long Musings is going to run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Musings is probably the bane of my existence because, I mean, that can be. There's been times it's been as short as 7 minutes. And there was one month, I swear to God, it was an hour and 36 minutes.
Wow.
What do you do with an hour and 36 minutes of musings?
You know, if I can, I would, or if I may, I'd say the listeners could help us a little bit. I notice every once in a while that folks will call and they'll always have something good to say and something good for the listenership. But some folks tend to repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, call with the same information two or three times. Yep. And, you know, you could kind of maybe formulate ahead of time exactly what you're going to say before you pick up the phone. That might help you.
That would help. You know, as I always say, keep it brief and to the point. Make sure it's pertinent to everyone. We used to get a lot of calls for things like, by the way, the POCA show on the 10-watt educational in Podunk is now been moved to 10 o'clock at night. Well, that may be good for somebody who lives in Podunk, but unfortunately, I don't think a lot of DX Audio Service members would find it interesting. So we kind of have to, you know, keep it on a broad topic, you know. And
or perhaps people could call and say, I'd like to hear more of.
Exactly.
Rather than just calling in with statements or experiences. And I know one thing that seems to work very well is when people call with questions.
Right.
For you or for me or for anybody else that's contributing. And generally, you're very good about mm-hmm. making sure that question gets answered right in that issue when it's possible.
Right.
I've had you call me and say, Tim Hendel, for example, wants to know something about WSM's reach. Mm-hmm. And when it's possible, you and I will collaborate so we can get the answer on that very same
right.
issue. That takes a lot of work, but that's fun to do.
It does, and you know, and if somebody doesn't hear a question answered, there's usually one or two reasons. Reason number one is it wasn't pertinent enough for the whole scope of the audio service. It was something so narrow that probably only that one person would find some interest in. Or the other side of it is we're just flat out of time.
So members could help by keeping their musings a little more focused.
Absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, and keep it positive. Don't call up and say, I hate that damn IBOC. That's, the thing that you should do with is try to keep a positive spin on everything because life is too short and you don't want to go out angry. You know, the thing that I would do is I would think of positive things that go on in our hobby, profile people who do good things. You know, we've all carped about localism. Okay, everybody's got a town or a station somewhere that does local.
Let's talk about the listenership. And I haven't called them members and I haven't called them subscribers. Mm-hmm. And I think your recent survey pointed to the difference, and we hope to get that clarified. Give me an idea of who you and I are talking to right now. First of all, the age range.
Well, youngest member, I would say, and I have to go purely by the sound of the voice, by the fact that Mom sends in all his subscription information and kind of screens his calls and such, I would say the youngest member is probably in single digits, probably late single digits, or maybe early double digits right now. The oldest member, I would say, would probably be in their 80s.
My goodness.
Middle of that is probably in the 40s or the 50s. That is purely a guess.
Sure.
One thing I've always said about the audio service and the database and everything else is I'd never ask personal questions. I don't want to know if you're male, female, what your age is, if you have a disability. It doesn't matter. What matters is you love radio.
That's a very good comment. Thank you for that. Then I will ask the question, even though you've kind of just declared it off limits. What, roughly how many ladies do you think? And how many men in the group?
Going by names, I would have to say maybe, and again, I mean, you get into a situation where you have a name like Lynn.
And you don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
But definite lady names, I would say we probably have seven, maybe topping 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much skewed to the male side, but, you know.
But not intentionally. That's why
not intentionally, and I'll tell you why. I find that the lot of the women who have joined the audio service joined because they love radio, they just never knew about us. So, you know, when they found out about us, they immediately signed up and they've been faithful to us, you know, for, I can think of two members that are female right now that have been with us probably at least 80% of our lifetime.
And the first issue?
First issue was April of 1985.
Did you ever miss a month?
No, I didn't, even back in February of 97.
When you had your health problem.
Right. That was my most trying moment is, doctor, am I going to get out of this hospital enough to get back to do the audio service? That was quite trying because I literally got out on the 15th. Of course, Debbie, my wife that you met when you came here, you see she is a very... very strong woman, and you know, she says, you know, well, you can go out for a couple hours and work on that, but I don't want you, you know, spending too much time out there, especially as you see in this studio. I could keel over dead, and you probably wouldn't know until you came out here.
Well, I see this as therapeutic for you, though.
So oh, it is. This is relaxing.
I can't see any stress.
This, you know, if I could do the audio service, you know, Mark, my background is like this. My character, I should say, is like this. If I was to win the $16 million, Mega Millions, or whatever it's up to now, I probably would not change. I don't like, I guess you'd call it affluence, you know. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't buy a Cadillac. I'd still drive the old Buick.
Mm-hmm. Of the radio.
I do the same things that I always do. Probably cook my own breakfast in the morning and go for my walk in the evening. But like you say, this is very therapeutic. It's very relaxing for me.
So we're at the point where you've assembled some of the information.
Assembled the information.
Hopefully our columns have come in on time.
Yep. And as you see behind me, there's a whole bunch of, as my kids say, dad's crap.
The work area he's in right now has a pile of CDs and cassettes and newspaper articles.
Here's an article out of the Toledo Blade newspaper, The Man Surfed to Fame by Remotes, the obit of the gentleman who invented the remote control.
There's a little sound console right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the little Mackie console. It's going to be retired one of these days when I get my Gates Yard fixed.
When you win the lottery.
Yeah, there you go.
First thing you will do then is buy a new console, right?
Yes. But here's an article right here on the world's greatest love songs, a list of the top 10 love songs, and the worst love songs, which, by the way, the worst love song is Hero by Enrique Iglesias. The world's greatest love song is I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. Now, that's another thing.
That's someone's opinion.
Yeah, that's somebody's opinion. But, I mean, there's all kinds of articles here that we put together. Now, Crunch Time. Crunch Time is always the 20th. if you look at a calendar, I've got kind of an odd way of figuring out my production time. If you look at a calendar and the 20th starts on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, then usually it's the following weekend. If it is on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's usually that weekend or the following weekend. Either way, the goal is to have the audio service completed by the 27th, mailed so it's out the door by the 1st. And that meets our production schedule, or our claim, as we say, to that you'll always have your audio service on the 10th of that month.
So if you, in the worst case, in the timetable you just described, is what is the window, 7 days or 10?
7 days, yeah, to 10 days.
Okay. So by the 20th, you've gathered everything. And again, as I said, hopefully our columns are in.
Right.
How much time do you think you spend per month, given all the things we've kind of been through here, and assuming maybe a normal, whatever that might be, musings, which might take you an hour? What do you think?
Musings usually takes me about 2 hours.
Does it?
Okay. 2 to 3 hours, depending on the program. I would say a typical month of audio service for the club is probably close. I'm just guessing here. I'm going to say it's probably close to about 50 hours.
50 hours a month.
Now that's a time commitment, and it shows in the quality work Fred issues every month. I'm proud to be part of that project, along with all the other DX Audio Service contributors. And that's part one of our visit to the Sheetrock announce booth. There'll be more on future broadcasts as we delve a bit further into how Fred prepares the DX Audio Service, how the columnists work with him, and what you can do to help us make this an even better service. In the coming months, we're starting coverage of a huge round trip to the east and south of the U.S. We start in Minneapolis, travel through Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, back up through Missouri and Iowa. And along the way, we'll open the radios to see what's going on the clear channels. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. Until we meet again, good listening, DXers.
Color for fun. WBNS-TV, Color Channel 2.
Well, I wonder if any of our sharp-eared DX Audio Service members have caught some of the errors that you've been hearing on some of these jingles and things. If you happen to catch them, why not drop us a card or a letter or give a call to the Musings line. I'll tell you what, if we get some entries here, the person who has the most correct answers we'll receive a prize from the DX Audio Service. Maybe a couple free issues, maybe an After Dark. We'll come up with something for the person who can come up with the most correct answers. On a more serious note, a good friend of ours, Wally Walrow, has gone in for heart transplant in Dallas, Texas, and is now in the recovery phase. Wally is a past convention host. He's a member of the DX Audio Service. He's also been on the DX Audio Service doing a market scope. And generally, he's just a great guy to be around and a fun fellow to be with. By the way, if you would like to send him a card or a letter just expressing some thoughts, we don't give out members' addresses here on the DX Audio Service, but what I did is I went out and bought a whole stack of two-day priority mail envelopes. So if you would like to send him a card, just send it to here to the DX Audio Service, and I'll pop the card right into the envelope and send it down to his home address, and his wife will take it right over to the hospital to him. So just use the address at the beginning of the tape, and just put on the envelope, Wally Walrow, W-A-W-R-O, and we'll get it to him.
From out of the old circus trunk, here's the centering performance from out of the past.
Coushatta, Louisiana, for failure to timely...
It's not often that you get something for free, and it's not often that you get something so worthwhile for free. And that is the Mexican AM station list by John Callerman, by frequency and by city. Now, this document was revised for 2007 and is the definitive reference for those in need of information on AM stations in Mexico. In John's own words, I have a one-word slogan, share. There are two versions posted at www.nrcdxas.org, one by frequency and another by city.
We have these converted from the original Word document to allow the widest sharing possible in Adobe PDF format. These are available only as downloads from the website.
CFOX Montreal.
The annual convention of the National Radio Club and the Worldwide TV-FM DXers Association will be held at the Roadway Inn at 1115 North Curtis Road in Boise, Idaho. Zip code is 83706. The convention officially starts on Friday, August the 31st, 2007, and runs through Sunday, September the 2nd, 2007. Members of the National Radio Club and the WTFDA and their families are invited to attend, as well as anyone interested in domestic radio. Cutoff date for registering with the clubs is August the 15th of 2007, with the hotel August 20th. 2007. We hope to see you there, and we'll get you an address where you can send your convention registration, hopefully very soon.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.
This is WABC.
Whistle along, join in the song.
WABC.
All the while, 770 on your dial.
W.